With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
He's on the Service Master by Cornerstone phone line. It is Chris Harrington from the Daily Memphian. Joins me now. Chris, what are we listening to?
That is the inevitable deployment of Smash Mouth All-Star for the morning in which the Grizzlies, for the first time in franchise history, have two players in an All-Star game. And Jaren Jackson makes it a fifth Grizzly now in franchise history to be an All-Star.
Okay, the other three were Mark.
The other four.
Sorry. Yeah. So Ja, but then there were Mark, Mike, and Z-Bo, right?
No. Mark, Z-Bo, and Powell.
Mike never made
Mike's
it. Mike made it as a. Did he ever make it? Did he make it as a Jazz? Yeah. He made it as a Jazz. Right. And Powell. Right. Mike did make it as a Jazz, but never made it here. That's right. Powell made it multiple times, I think. Anyway,
so,
that was nice. Certainly expected Ja to make it. I think it was surprising that Jaren made it, but you are often point out that half the game is defense. And if he's the best defensive player in the league, you can't imagine the best offensive player in the league being left off the All-Star roster. And it's pretty clear the coaches, I thought, in both picking Jrue Holiday and Jaren, they were valuing that side of the – they were valuing that part of the game.
Yeah, no, that's a good point. I mean, if there was a surprise on each side, it was Jaren Jackson and Jrue Holiday. That is definitely the commonality. Jaren Jackson is, arguably the best front court defender in the league this season. And Jrue Holiday is arguably the best perimeter defender in the league, certainly one of the two or three best. They're also both number two option, the number two guys on among the best teams in the league. Not every number two guy on an elite team made it. You know, James Harden, the number two at Philly, did not make it, and Aaron Gordon, who's been the number two for most of this season in Denver, did not make it. But I think a combination of that elite defense and then having a big role on one of the league among the league's better teams seems to have done it. And there was I don't know, as we talked about yesterday, I don't know if I'd done the exercise if I would have come up with Jaren in that spot. But I think there was like half a dozen guys you could make a case for all reasonably, and he was one of them.
I mean, I guess the quote unquote snubs in the West were Aaron Gordon, who you mentioned, De'Aaron Fox, Devin Booker,
Anthony Davis, and Anthony Edwards.
I think that's probably it. And do you think if you had done the exercise right now, you had to pick one of those five, including Jaren, would you have picked someone else?
I don't know. I probably would have, honestly. I think I probably would not have come up with Jaren. Although I'm certainly defensible, and I'm glad, happy for him that he got picked. And so, you know, that just goes to show the level of respect he has among coaches. He was not an obvious pick to make.
Yeah. And then in the East, Jrue Holiday makes it among the players who did not. Darius Garland, James Harden, Jalen Brunson, Jimmy Butler, Trae Young, Pascal Siakam. There's a hell of a lot of good players in this league. Because a lot of those are quote unquote all-star level players. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah, it's almost hard to think of Jimmy Butler and Pascal Siakam not being on the all-star team. But then, like, you know, look who made the all-star team. Like, you know, it's not like there's any bum there. And so, yeah, it's I do think they should expand either to 13 or 15. I'm not for like limitless expansion,
right?
But to me, there's a real logic in mimicking what actual NBA rosters are. I would not go beyond what an actual NBA right. roster is for an All-Star game, but I don't see any reason not to mimic an actual NBA roster.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that makes sense to me. Now that the question I had Jason Smith on earlier, and he was just now he's hoping that Jaren isn't the last one picked in the draft. He could be.
He's probably a good bet for that, honestly.
Yeah. The bigs are probably the most likely to go last. So whatever. It certainly is it's a feather in the cap of the previous front office too, isn't it? They got a lot of grief for things, but. They came up with Dylan Brooks, and they came up. Anyone else on the roster? Is it just Jaren and Dylan left on this roster from the?
At this point, it's just those two. Kyle Anderson last year. Kyle Anderson right. had also been there signing, but now it's those two. Yep.
All right. Onward to the game. First of all, game itself. Before we talk about the Dylan stuff, you know, once you knew Jaren wasn't playing, knew Steven Adams wasn't playing. They actually hit threes last night. They hit foul shots last night, but. I think I expected an L, and we got one. Any further thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, that's a rough spot to be without both your starting bigs.
Right.
You know, I think you're an underdog at Cleveland, period. Right. But at Cleveland, which is the biggest team in the league, even bigger than you, to be without both your starting bigs is sort of a rough place to be. I think, and so the thing about this rough stretch for the Grizzlies is you could take any individual game, and, like, it's not that big of a deal. But it's when you string them together is when it's a problem. And when there's patterns of problems within that stretch, which clearly there are, like those are the concerns.
How worrisome is this? Like, for example, do you think that we're going to get to a point where we're going to be wondering if the Grizzlies are going to be a, you know, if they lose seven of the next eight, we're going to be that they may not be hosting a playoff series in the first round. It's pretty they wouldn't be. So that's all. I guess how worrisome do you find the collection of issues? That are besetting the Grizzlies at the moment?
I'd be surprised if they dropped that far. In fact, I'd be surprised if they dropped out of the two seed, although it's certainly possible, but I'd be surprised if that happened. I feel like it's gonna steady itself. They weren't going to keep winning when they were winning 11 in a row, which was just like 2 weeks ago. And they're not going to keep doing this, I don't think. I think Steven Adams being gone is like a real problem. I think what this stretch has shown is that, what this season has shown is that the Grizzlies are really, really good when they have most or all of their starting lineup together and those players are all playing at their normal levels. But when there are chinks in that armor and in the last couple of weeks, Steven Adams out, Desmond Bane missed some games, and then you know his first game back didn't look particularly good against Portland. Dylan Brooks been in a huge slump. You know, they love talking about the next man mentality, next man up mentality or whatever, but this team is not equipped for that to matter as much as it has the past couple of seasons. And when they haven't been right in their starting five, they've had real problems, you know, behind that. And I think that looms in through good times and bad, that has loomed as a real concern projecting into playoff basketball.
Wasn't a mistake by the front office to, you know, we talked about all these young players, all these rookies, and to build the roster the way they did without more experienced effective bench players. It's sort of like they count on their ability to find players in the rough like John Conchar and elevate him up the rotation. They count on the ability to find and develop players like Zaire Williams. And for whatever reason, these things haven't worked. I don't want to call it arrogance. That's too much. It was it a mistake on the part of the front office not to do more to bolster the depth on this team?
Yeah, I mean, I said before the season started, I thought they were a player short in the sense of, you know, you let go or trade, but you part ways with Kyrie Anderson and D'Anthony Melton, two of your two better bench players. And to me, they should have replaced them with one better bench player they could count on, at least one, right? And so I think they larded their roster with too many. They have five first and second year players who are unproven coming into the season. One of those is Santi Aldama, has been really good, but that's five. And then you had a sixth roster spot with Danny Green, who's been unavailable for all but one game so far.
Right.
And I think it's one thing when you're in a rebuilding situation. I mean, the more darts you have to throw, the more likely you are to hit a bullseye, right, to find the next Desmond Bane. I think when you're rebuilding, it's easier to have a lot of developmental players on your roster. When you're trying to win big and you have a third of your roster like in that sort of uncertain space, I think it becomes a problem, and I think it has become a problem this season. So I think, you know, trying to balance, you know, developing the next guys with making sure you have enough proven guys to win at the highest level can be tricky. And I think this season's roster, as I said before, they played a single game. I think this season's roster is a little bit too tilted to the unproven.
What did you make of the Dylan Brooks, Donovan Mitchell fracas?
I think what Dylan did was likely intentional. I think there's enough plausible deniability there that I saw people on Twitter like throwing around 10-game suspension. Like, I can't imagine something of that magnitude for something that there is at least a small sliver of a doubt that he was thrown to the floor and he's flopping around or whatever. And again, I think it was likely intentional, and so I'm not mounting some vigorous defense, but I'd be surprised if there was some more than one or two games that came out of it. I don't think it was a good look. I think this Grizzlies team has had a little bit too much noise all season, and that was more of it. And, you know, not that they were necessarily looking to trade Dylan Brooks. My best intel is that they were definitely not. But we're at the point, a week before the trade deadline, to have the worst month you've had in 4 years, and then this is the cherry on top, is really, you know, if you were going to trade Dylan Brooks, this would be a sell low situation. And so there is that aspect of it.
You don't think it changes the likelihood one way or another, do you?
No. I do wonder if it changes. If there were a deal, and there's obviously one deal we've been talking about for a month, if there were a deal that might potentially involve a Dylan Brooks, does it color, you know, whether he has value in that deal beyond his value of an expiring contract? I think it might. I don't think it changes the Grizzlies' general attitude about what they're trying to do or not do. No.
Do you think Dylan Brooks is a net positive on this team?
I think over the course of his career, he has been. Over the course of this season as a whole, he has been. In the past months, he has not been. I think I would be interested in upgrading Dylan Brooks' spot on the roster. And that's why I've been an advocate for trying to get Anunoby if he's available. I am not yet at the – I don't at this point believe in addition by subtraction with Dylan Brooks. The idea of, like, you know, to me that's what – if you say he's a net negative, that means you take him away. That all makes right. you better. I don't believe that, like, at all. I don't think the guys they have behind him are struggling to play 10 minutes of good basketball off the bench, much less start. And so I value what Dylan Brooks, the role he plays defensively, very highly. I would be interested in trying to upgrade that spot with someone who could play a similar role but be a better total player. And so I wouldn't say he's a net negative, just because to me that implies you take him away, that makes things better, and I don't think that's the case, not with this roster.
Have you seen, by the way, any real reporting yet on the Grizzlies and the trade deadline? I mean, other than
it's
speculation.
Really hard. It's hard to tell at this point what's real reporting and what's not, right? I was listening to this new podcast that Mark Stein has with Chris Haynes, and that made headlines yesterday because Chris Haynes says on the podcast that, you know, the Grizzlies don't want the Pelicans to get OG Anunoby, and the Pelicans don't want the Grizzlies to get OG Anunoby. And so implication being there's a bidding war or whatever there. Well, he says that in a way that's like just an assertion, right? Like this is a fact, but he doesn't say according to blah blah blah. And right. So I'm not saying I've never, like, it gets real tricky when you hear stuff and who you hear it from and how you can say it and all of that. And so that may come from a good source and it may not. And I really don't know.
Or he could just be saying logically they would not want that.
Yeah. No, that's why there's nothing I have heard or read. That nothing's going to be on the record, according to so-and-so executive. Right. But there's nothing I've heard or read that seems strongly implied that it is coming from someone with direct knowledge of things, other than like other
and have
people,
you heard
other
the Grizzlies
speculating?
Have you heard the Grizzlies connected to any other player?
No, not at all. that's why it's hard. You know, for my own self, for me, I got to acknowledge I'm reading tea leaves. I'm sort of guessing based on mostly public record. I do have some sliver of hints and hunches about things beyond that. But it's very, very, I mean, the two things I've said are that I think Anunoby's going to get traded. And I think if he's available, the Grizzlies will be among teams making an offer. I feel both of those things. I feel pretty good about both of those things, but I don't know those things to be true. I know no one has told me directly that both those things are true, but I have enough sort of, you know, puzzle pieces around that I think those two things are true. But that's not really saying much. And beyond that, I don't know.
Dylan Brooks a dirty player?
Maybe. He's certainly a reckless player. I think he's a player who plays on the edge. I think you could say he's a player that maybe has some impulse control issues. I don't think, you know, we have these two incidents now in the past year. There's this one with Donovan Mitchell, which I ascribe intent to. Mm-hmm. The one against Gary Payton in the playoffs, I don't ascribe intent to. I think he was just, I was in there in the building right in front of it. And he was just charging hard. He missed a shot. He was frustrated. He was charging as hard as he can. He could to try to break up the layup at the other end. Right. And I think he lost control of his body. And I think he meant to foul him, but he did not mean to hit him in the back of the head and knock him to the floor. I don't think that was an intent for the play to have that effect. I'm almost positive of that. But it was a reckless play. It was a play that warranted the suspension he got. But before those two things, unless I'd missed something, I can't think of another incident where Dylan Brooks was suspended for any kind of play on the floor. I can't even remember a lot of flagrant fouls he's had. He's had a lot of technical fouls, but I don't think he's even had a lot of flagrant fouls. And so that's why I'm a little reluctant to call him a dirty player, although I would not, if someone else were to say that, I would not mount a vigorous defense on the matter.
And then you said that you think there's been a little bit too much noise coming from the Grizzlies. And there has been.
Just around the Grizzlies, right?
Some of it's tea and sharp stuff, all of this stuff. Yeah.
Right.
Does it actually hurt them in any way, or just in terms of perception when they don't win games, people can tell them to shut up and play like Charles Barkley did last night?
Yeah, it's hard to know for certain how much that stuff sort of gets to you, right? Like, I am of the belief, as I wrote at the time, that their Christmas Day loss to the Warriors got to them, and I think it carried over to the next game they played. I think there are people in the franchise that believe that. I think Taylor Jenkins has made that pretty clear without explicitly saying it, that he really had issues with the way they played in that game. So I do think there's something to I think the answer is probably yes, but I don't think it's hard to definitively say so. But I do think there's something to that. And I just think it gets tiresome after a while.
Yeah. No, I agree with that. We lost a panda, Chris.
Yeah, I saw that. I'll confess, I haven't read the stories. I don't know what the life expectancy of pandas is, so I don't know if that's an unusual situation or not.
Well, I'm here for you. Okay. The life expectancy of a panda in captivity is 30 years. The life expectancy of a camp panda in the wild is 15 to 20 years. I think dying at 25, it's okay. I think that's not, yeah. I don't think it's a bad look for the zoo, although there are the panda protesters who are going to claim, obviously, that they murdered her. Is it her or him? Her. I think it's a her. Did you like the panda exhibit, but you were not, in fact, and you're a fan of the zoo, and you like the whole deal over there. What was it you liked, the red, but you're the pandas you can give or take? What's your view on pandas?
I think the pandas weren't that interesting after a while once the novelty wore off. I think bears in general are good. I think most of the other bears at the zoo were more interesting to look at than the pandas.
Yeah. All right, Chris, I appreciate it.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.